This is Into the Multiverse with Josh Peck.
Well, we welcome back to the show our good friend, friend of Into the Multiverse. You know, I think we can call you Lord of the Multiverse for this one, Andrew Klavan.
I think you must. I think you should. It's on my business. It's on my business card. So you know. Yeah.
Well, and there it shall stay, because you put in your time. You've given us two great interviews, and you're up for a third. So I think that you have earned the title Lord of the Multiverse, Andrew Klavan. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you.
Good to see you again. And again, it's been so long. We explained that in the last interview, so people will have to go back and watch that if they want to know what that's all about. So I wanted to talk to you about science, because this is something that's come up in our previous discussions, and it is Into the Multiverse, of course, so we probably should talk about science at some point. But you've addressed some of this in your show, the Andrew Klavan Show on the Daily Wire, and when you go and speak at college campuses, sometimes somebody has a question about it. So I wanted to start with, how have science and Christian ethics in the past helped shape the culture that we're currently living in?
Oh, well, I think they've shaped every single thing about us. I mean, I do not think people understand how deeply the church, first the Catholic Church, and then the various Protestant sects, shaped our minds, shaped our values. Everything we have comes from them. Even our inheritance from Greece and Rome, the classical inheritance, comes through the church and the people like Thomas Aquinas. And so it's really shaped everything. And there's this mythos that goes around, and this has been, they've been selling this since the 16th century, this myth that basically there was the church, and then people broke away from the church, and science was set free to free the world. But in fact, all the first scientists, all the people who invented science, all the people who developed the scientific method and the scientific mind were Christians.
Yeah.
Including Newton. I mean, he was a bit of a radical Christian, but Galileo was a dean of the church. I mean, these were all church people. And the reason they thought the way they did was because of the church's commitment to a God who made sense, to a God who made us in his image through reason. And those things, that mindset, that scientific mindset, really does come to us through Christianity. Were there people in the church who tried to kibosh certain ideas? Of course there were. Any organization is going to have those guys who are afraid that the organization is threatened. But the wise people understood that no truth was going to separate them from God, because it is truth that sets us free, and it's truth that leads us to God. So I look at science as a very Christian occupation, and I think that the people who sell you this other idea, and they've been, like I said, they've been selling it. I mean, the very idea of the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages is a slur on the Middle Ages that was created by Renaissance people who wanted you to think like, oh, there was Rome and Greece, and then there was the Renaissance. In between, that was just the Middle Ages. It was the middle. There was nothing going on in there. It was kind of dark, and they were just waiting for the Enlightenment, you know. And all that is just a myth. I mean, it was really the Christian mindset that shaped the scientific mindset.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. We've talked about that on this show before, too. When I first started this the show Into the Multiverse, there was kind of this thought of, okay, I really want to prove that science and Christianity can go hand in hand as long as you have the right interpretation of both. You know, I mean, if it's truth, it's truth. So if you have science that's conflicting with the Bible, then either your interpretation of the Bible is wrong or your interpretation of science is wrong. It's one or the other. But if we're going to believe in truth, then there is truth. There's objective truth. So I decided I'm going to take the weirdest, most hard to understand science I can, quantum physics, and if I can show that you can still pair that with Christianity and have it not conflict. Because a lot of times when more atheistic or left-leaning scientists want to disprove Christianity, they'll fall back on quantum physics. I think of people like Lawrence Krauss and some others. Even Bill Nye has kind of done that from time to time. But it's all based on an interpretation. You know, it's not based on an objective truth. It's a subjective interpretation of the science that they're looking at. So where do you think the future is headed? With a lot of universities being more left-leaning, a lot of people who are getting into the sciences, they're more left-leaning. I mean, I don't really know of any conservative scientists. I've heard they're out there, but I've never met one. Where do you think, is there hope for conservative science, or do you think it's just going to be overrun by liberals and we're just headed towards Armageddon?
Well, I hope not. I mean, the thing about any kind of philosophy that you bring to science is that it's anti-science. If you have a philosophy about what you have to find, it's ultimately going to damage science, because science takes its truth from the world, it lets the world speak to it, not the other way around. I mean, you might come up with a theory, but if the theory is disproved, you dump the theory. So if you want your politics to be proved by science and you will not accept new facts that contradict it, you can never learn anything. And that's true on the left and the right. It's just that the left happens to be in control of our academic institutions, which is a shame. You know, the thing that really bothers me in the arguments, I read a lot of anti-religious work because, first of all, some of it is good and has a lot of interesting information in it. But also, I want to know what they're thinking. And one of the things that I notice that they're always doing is they're always taking an argument that really came along very late, the argument of the dual universe, where you have the flesh and you have the spirit. Now, I know that Paul talked about the flesh and the spirit, but I don't think he was talking about two actual entities, like a spirit that's some kind of ghostly Casper thing that floats around versus our flesh, which you can see and feel and experience. But I don't think that that's what Christians believe. I think that we believe more that the world is like language. My body is like a language that speaks me into the world. When I'm not speaking, my thoughts don't exist in the world. But when I speak, there they are. But they were all, but they also have, my ideas have a being that is being expressed by language, but is not, they're not contained in the language. And it's the same thing, I think, with the world. The world speaks God's creation. I speak his creation of me, his idea of me. But I only exist in my body. And that's why Christianity believes in the resurrection of a body. You know, it doesn't say you're going to be, those cartoons of guys sitting on clouds playing harps. You know, I get it, but that's a metaphor. That's just an image. The fact is we believe, just like Jesus, we are going to get some kind of body because it is the body that expresses the form. And Aristotle believed the same thing, although he didn't believe we were eternal. He did believe that the idea only becomes real when it's embodied. So I just think that they're arguing on false premises. They set up a false premise, they set up a straw man, and then they knock it down. And as a Christian, I'm always going, well, yeah, I don't agree with that either. And so I think that as Christians, we have to have a deep, deep respect for the scientific process and for scientists and their goodwill and their minds. But we don't have to have a deep respect for their logic, because one thing I notice again and again and again is that their anti-Christian arguments are bad.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times they know everything there is to know about biology. They know everything there is to know about quantum physics, and God love them. I love that stuff. But they know nothing about theology. They know nothing about what Thomas Aquinas said, and they start to argue with him. And I'm thinking, like, dude, now that's like me telling you about quantum physics. You know, that's, I don't do that because you're the scientist. So don't tell me about this stuff until you've read it and acquainted yourself with it. And I think that that's the thing. We need to argue with them on those terms, on the terms that their premises about religion are untrue.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because I've noticed that a lot too. You know, they have such a, the ones that want to argue, you know, they have such a lack of respect that they don't take the time to understand the actual deeper parts of the theology. They just see it as a fairy tale or something that can be easily debunked, and it's not. All that shows is their ignorance, and then because of that, we don't take them seriously when they try to tell us about something scientific. And now we're left in this culture where we have this dichotomy between science and Christianity. You know, not always, but there is kind of that schism there. And, you know,
I think that's really good description. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I wonder, you know, what you said about embodiment, I thought was really profound. I brought up Dr. Michael Heiser before. He, in his book, The Unseen Realm, he talked about this too, about how, you know, we're resurrected into a body. It's not just some spirit floating out there, you know. And even when God presented himself to man, even in the book of Genesis, to Abraham, he came in the form of a man, a physical embodiment. You see that in repeated in Daniel. And then, of course, the actual person of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And so I think that's really profound. And that's really, really interesting. I wish that more Christians and more scientists could grab a hold of that type of deep theological stuff if they're motivated to argue against it. Because the way I look at it, if they come up with a really good argument against something I believe, that only benefits me. You know, that only helps me understand.
That's right.
You know, because we can compare our own ideas against those that oppose, and as long as we don't get emotional about it or let it become an argument, some of the best conversations I've ever had in my life were with people I disagree with who respected me as much as I did them.
I wish more people had that attitude because I completely agree. I mean, some of the writers I loved reading Christopher Hitchens. I thought every time Christopher Hitchens started talking about atheism, he would become incredibly dumb. You know, I would just think, like, that's a dumb argument. But he was such a wonderful writer. I just thought, well, you know, I'm going to be with him through his dumb parts and his smart parts, you know. And I'm happy to argue with people in a friendly way. And what I hate is I hate people coddling me. If you don't believe,
yes,
you don't have to, you know, you can respect me, but you can tell me you don't believe. And that's fine with me.
Yeah, same here. I mean, one of the most fun interviews that I've ever done on the show was with Zoltan Istvan. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's a transhumanist guy. He's totally not Christian or anything. He's libertarian, which that part I agreed with. But you know, it was cool because we found common ground, but we wholeheartedly disagree on everything. But we have a lot of respect for one another, and even though we disagreed and we sort of debated, it was really fruitful and it helped me kind of understand where people on that side are coming from. And I would love to see more Christians do that because I think that's lacking in Christianity as well. And that's actually where I agree with you on the last interview where you said if there's going to be a next great awakening, it's going to come from the intellectuals because it's the intellectuals who will actually take the time to understand the opposing arguments. I love that.
Right. You know, recently I was reading this book, Sapiens, by Yuval Harari, and he, not only does he not believe in God, he only vaguely believes in human beings. And I was sitting at the dinner table ranting about this book with my wife and saying how much I disagree with it, and I disagreed with it here and there. And she looked at me and she said, "Why are you reading this book?" And I said, "Because it's great. I love it. It's a book full of ideas and goodwill and interest. I just think he's wrong."
Yeah, exactly. You know, it doesn't have to be a threat to our faith. If we're really secure in our faith, we should be able to take part in that and sharpen our own arguments. Well, this has been such a blast. We are all out of time, but if people haven't had a chance to check out your show or follow you online, if they want to do that, where can they go?
I hope they'll come to the Daily Wire and they can listen to my podcast, The Andrew Klavan Show. It's on Monday through Thursday. And on Twitter, I'm at Andrew Klavan, so they can find me there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much again. This has been an absolute blast and seriously an honor for me. Thank you.
Oh, thanks a lot. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks.
With all the talk in media today about women's rights to be heard and treated with fairness and decency in all public platforms, Donna Howell's timely new book boldly establishes how it was Jesus Christ himself that settled this issue a long time ago, and at a time when it would have been considered revolutionary and prophetic. Bible scholars know that Jesus, while recognizing appropriate gender roles, intentionally began the first women's empowerment movement. But why did he do that? The answer to that mystery is in the Bible itself. Now, in one of the most talked about new releases of the year, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy by best-selling author Donna Howell, the permanent changes Jesus made regarding women's rights, their value, and their role in delivering his message to the world is brought to light.
And if God decides to raise up a radical, he only needs one voice for an entire great awakening, and it could be yours.
Yeah. This is Reverend Donna Howell.
Yeah.
Once you read The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, you'll never think about the church that Jesus Christ started and that his apostles decreed in the same way again. The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, available March 1st at skywatchtv.com.
Follow the cultural and historic backdrop behind Paul's words in the New Testament that correct the record on some of the most misinterpreted scriptures in modern history in relation to the issue of women, their leadership role in the church, and understand properly what Paul was responding to when the epistles were written. Skywatch TV is proud to announce one of the most anticipated, talked about new releases of the year, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy promotional offer. When you order The Handmaiden's Conspiracy from Skywatch TV, you'll receive Skywatch TV's brand new, beautifully bound, limited edition, red letter King James Version of the Holy Bible with Apocrypha, In addition to the Old and New Testaments, this never-before-released, one-of-a-kind deluxe collector's Bible includes the ancient apocryphal books like Enoch, Jubilees, and 15 more ancient texts that the disciples of Christ read and quoted from. This gorgeous limited edition Bible is available exclusively from Skywatch TV and holds a retail value of $80. Yours absolutely free for a limited time. That's right, absolutely free when you purchase the Handmaiden's Conspiracy promotional offer. Also included in this once-in-a-lifetime offer is the Donna Howell collection that includes all three of her runaway best-selling works, Radicals, Redeemed Unredeemable, and Final Fire. Sold separately, this unprecedented promotional offer retails for $160. Yours now for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. This is one of the most exciting promotional offers we've made available, and you don't want to miss this opportunity to receive all four of best-selling author Donna Howell's works, along with the remarkable deluxe collector's King James Version of the Bible that includes the ancient apocryphal books of Enoch, Jubilees, and 15 more ancient texts. In fact, order numerous sets to give away to every Bible enthusiast and student you know. The Handmaiden's Conspiracy promotional offer. Order now at the Skywatch TV store or call 1-844-750-4985.